cabinet. I keep them in a jar. For emergencies, you know, I keep them in the glove compartment of my car. And I can't live without them. They get me high and I can get on booze.
Yes, the Oreo cookie blues. And I got to tell you, nothing makes me bluer than flipping over the bag and finding they were made in Mexico. Put them right back. That simple. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. PBS Front Page has a new documentary out. Real quick, 5-minute bit on, you know, the Mondelez Nabisco. Look, you've got these greedy corporations who see opportunities to put more in their pockets at the expense of workers, of communities, of this country. And look, you know, we've said go. You know, finally, someone is saying enough is enough. We're standing up to the greed, and that's why I think what the folks at the BCTGM are doing and those workers in Chicago who have lost their jobs because Mondelez Nabisco moved the billion-dollar cookie production to Mexico. What they're doing, I think, is important for not just for them, but for all of us. And here to talk a little bit about the documentary and the campaign, I've asked Ronald Baker to come talk with us. He's BCTGM International's Strategic Campaign Coordinator. Ronald, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
I am good. You know, I saw this front page documentary with James Earl Jones, and I'm going, good stuff.
Yeah, it just hit and just aired on its first network on July the 6th, but by the time all the viewings are done, 50 million households across the United States will, like, see this 5-minute video that actually talks about the things that we've been dealing with for the last 18 to 20 months on this campaign, which is taking jobs out of the U.S., moving them across the border, paying the poor folks across those borders poverty wages, and bringing the product back to sell to American consumers at the same prices if they were made in the USA.
Yeah, and the important part there is, you know, and this is what I keep telling people, you know, while they're moving these jobs overseas and getting cheaper labor and more exploitable environmental conditions, the prices don't come down, so the consumers aren't actually doing any better. It's just that the workers are getting screwed.
Well, exactly. The only one that benefits from this business model that Mondelez Nabisco actually has in place of making it at, on the low side and selling it on the high side is the full pockets of the CEO and the benefits derived for all their million-dollar-a-year executives.
Now, you guys are running this campaign to check the label, which, you know, I've tweeted out, I've promoted here on the program. Walk me through how you want this thing to work out.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, this video is a reemphasis of what we've done on Check the Label. And let me just tell you a little bit too, Rick, about what's happened on Check the Label when it comes to this corporation and its performance over the course of the last, two years. 2015 was a 35 billion dollar revenue year for the company, and 2016 year end they report a 12.5% reduction over 2015 rates. And the only place on the globe where they've got reduced sales of what they call biscuits and we all call cookies is the United States of America and the North American continent, which is 34% of their marketplace globally. So people are out there doing the work, doing the job, looking at these labels and leaving them on the shelves, which is exactly what we've asked them to do. So it's working out great. We've got more things coming, and at the end of this month, the IWJ, which is the Interfaith Workers Justice Network all across the country, made up of ministers, interdenominational religious groups, will conduct a 5-city study of what Mondelez is doing in the cities where they operate, and also in Mexico, and will deliver reports for those particular areas to the public. so that everybody can see the impacts on communities with respect to jobs going overseas and them sucking consumer dollars on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, it all sounds like great stuff. And look, it's something I wish would have probably done 20 years ago because, you know, this is not new. This is what the corporate model has been. It's just finally someone being your union, the BCTGM, has finally said, you know, we're gonna hold somebody accountable.
Well, you know, every move that these corporations make, and you say it's the best, Rick, and you've done it and you helped with this campaign ever since the beginning, but this is all about dollars. It's all about money. And I will tell you the population on the globe that has the highest disposable income are those folks that live in the United States of America, 5% of the world's population, 20% of the consumption. And if that's not power that we can use to straighten things out when it comes to how these companies do business, then there's no place else in the world that can do it.
Absolutely. And this is where, again, the power of the consumer is so important. And that idea of, you know, of caring about your neighbor and the work that they do, which is why, again, I look at this 5-minute documentary, which I hope everyone will take a look at. And we've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on Ronald Baker's name. There's a spot under their PBS front page documentary. Just click on that, take you right to there. But, you know, in talking about this, you know, this really needs to be something across the board that we look at every product, Ronald, not just Oreo
Absolutely.
Cookies, but everything we buy.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think in a lot of ways, these corporations over time have tried to saturate the marketplace so much with those things that are made outside of for the last 20 years outside the United States that they're hoping that people will just turn their attention from it and say, oh, well, that's the way it is. But I will tell you, there is a change in the wind out there where people are finally saying everything else goes everywhere else, and the ones that are left holding the bag are the American worker and the consumer in this country who's getting shortchanged every single time when it comes to what not only trade, when it comes to these business models, and we're the best workers in the world getting short-sheeted by these corporations every time we turn around. And people have had it, Rick.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, you know, we've played this game for 30 years now, shifting our production to these desperate, poverty-ridden countries and then having them export everything back to us and creating this environment where their wages aren't coming up, but our standard of living and our wages are getting down to their level while you've got these CEOs and these investors who are just lining their pockets.
Absolutely. You know, to give you an example, here's Irene Rosenfeld, roughly $20 million a year, even though I will tell you that her salary took a $5 million haircut this year. And, you know, I know we all feel sorry for the fact that she's like only at 15 or 16 million. But I will tell you, when they demand cuts for American workers, when the CEO can make about $20 million a year, have a $50 million personal pension, a $50 million golden parachute, and $80 million in stock options when they leave the place and cart $200 million plus out in their own pockets, something's wrong with this system.
There's most certainly something wrong with this system. But again, you come back to this, and it's, you know, it comes back to our trade policies. It comes back to, you know, I go back to the last election and Donald Trump getting union votes because people believed for a second that he cared about American workers and he cared about bringing manufacturing back to the country. I mean, this plays into all of that, doesn't it?
It does. It does play into all of it. And you know, quite, you know, the whole Trump phenomenon was a result of it should be a message to politicians on both sides of the aisle that, like, what matters to people are results, not just promises, but results. Now, I will tell you, they're going to be these people that voted for Trump, as you well know, are going to be sadly disappointed when it's all over because it was all bluster, right? But they reached out because no one had done anything for them for so long that they made a choice, which was a bad one, but was the only choice that they saw out there. But I'll tell you, things are changing. People are making up their mind. And we tell everybody when they check those labels that if you purchase with every purchase of a Mexican-made product, you are helping to diminish and move one particular U.S. job across that border again.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I've said this before, I'm not against making Oreos in Mexico for Mexican consumption. Right. Fine. But don't take it here and then don't take it there and then ship it back to here and expect us to subsidize that. I believe in domestic production, domestic consumption. That should be the minimum.
I do, too. And it's interesting that you mentioned that because at the recent shareholders meeting that was conducted on the 16th or 17th of May, we were all there and we had people on the inside. And one laid off member asked, why the plant was built in Salinas, Mexico. And the CEO's general response was something to the effect that, we placed it in Mexico to grow our market there. Well, you know how that usually works. You're supposed to have a market, and then you put a plant to achieve the objectives of the market. That market was never in Mexico, never in Latin America. That market was always the United States of America. They just decided to plant it there where there was lax wage standards and whatever so that they could ship it across the border at a higher profit margin. That's it.
I mean, it's simple. I mean, it comes down to the very basics. They want desperate, exploitable labor and no environmental standards. They want to be able to cheat, lie, whatever, without having to adhere to high labor standards that we have here in this country. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It's that age-old war between capital and labor, and capital is beating the crap out of labor every chance they get right now.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, we hold out great hope in this campaign and great hope for American workers and people that are finally coming to the conclusion that why should I vote my dollars, to my own demise? And, you've reported that in Philadelphia and in Bergen County, New Jersey, and in Atlanta right now, they're coming up with resolutions and passing resolutions on the city council level saying taxpayer dollars will not pay for Nabisco products made in Mexico when those same dollars will be used to displace those people that paid those very taxes. And 13 cities across the country are already engaged in that, and we're going to spread it out even more, Rick.
Now, any chance of clawing back some of the money that cities and states have already given these companies? I know when they left Philadelphia, there was talk that, the city of Philadelphia had given some money to the Nabisco plant. I know Chicago, there was maybe some money there. Is there any chance of clawing that back and saying, hey, look, we invested in your plant, we invested in you, and you stabbed us in the back?
Well, I don't know that there is on past money, but I know one thing that all these municipalities and these cities and these governmental agencies are looking at based on what's happened in the past. I don't think you're going to find many cases in the future where there's not some kind of guarantee from that corporation as to what the expectations are as far as jobs and job performance in the future before the first tax incentive goes to them, because too many of these out here in Chicago, $93 million back in the 80s or 90s that was given for training and new equipment or whatever here, and after that was done, time to leave, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I look at the great Trump victory at Carrier, where they were saying, we saved all these jobs, we gave millions of dollars to Carrier, and now only to find out those jobs are gone anyway. So they got a bunch of money and still lost the jobs.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Stillworker, local president out there, was exactly right. He was exactly right that he was fudging, that the Trump campaign was fudging the numbers. And here they go. Here we are with the same amount of jobs lost that they intended to lose to begin with after the announcement was that they saved all of them.
I mean, it's crazy. So at the end of this, Ron, what's the goal at the end? Is it bringing those jobs back? Is it firing up that plant again? What's the end goal in all of this?
The end goal is repatriation of work, right?
Yeah.
The end goal is getting a collective bargaining agreement that is that works for the future. Because there is an expired collective bargaining agreement among these plants right now. And the goal is to make sure that U.S. workers and consumers are treated fairly, because this is not only about the Nabisco master agreement and also the situation with repatriation of jobs. This is this particular campaign here, and we've heard it all across the country everywhere we've gone. This is important for every other fight in the future where consumer dollars can be used to actually modify a bad business model.
And for me, the other part of this is that there's no bit of Americana greater than the Oreo cookie. I mean, if you think about blue jeans, you think about mom, apple pie, Oreo cookies right there with that. And to have them made overseas and shipped back here, there's just something wrong about that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, but you know how it works, these corporate CEOs. I mean, people at these plants, They go to work, they have families, they want to make a living, and that doesn't matter whether those are union folks working at those plants or supervisors working at those plants or mid-level managers working at those plants. Those are all jobs that are important to their family. But when you get into the upper tiers of these organizations, quite frankly, they do not care about anybody below their level.
Yeah, it's sad stuff. And at the end of the day, it's going to take you, me, it's going to take us to put them right. And I hope folks will visit your website, fightforamericanjobs.org. We've also got a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can check out there. You get updates on how this campaign is going. But more importantly, Ron, checking the label, right?
Check the label. We have a big box store boycott coming up in September with all the unions across the country going to be leafleting at big box stores. And in September, university tours start again, Rick, where we're going to be on university campuses. So, and thank you so much for everything that you guys have done for us.
I appreciate you taking time for us. Best of luck, Ronald Baker. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
And bye-bye. Again, you know, I come back to this idea. Now, understand, you know, if these are not union workers, if they're not members of the BCTGM, or, you know, you look at the carrier deal with the steel workers, if they're not union workers, we don't hear anything about this. It just happens. It's just imposed upon those workers because they don't have any voice. They don't have a representative. That's why I think, again, back to that whole idea, every worker in this country should have a union and should fight for one. That simple. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Yeah, I don't want to lose. Chocolate covered cream filled cookie. Built by Nabisco, ain't no rookie. Next best thing to Nookie.